Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians, and in particular, on Sunday nights, we've had an emphasis upon the home, and for the last number of weeks and actually months, we've been dealing with marriage in chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, God points out what his plan is for the home. And in chapter 6, that continues with the area of children, and it continues with parents, and then on, of course, into the area of servants and masters. And in all of this, God is interested in our knowing rightly his plan for us in every stage of our life. Notice with me Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now tonight, we're going to be looking at this matter of children. And you might in your notes title this Children Part 1. And I think it's important for us to recognize God has plans for husbands. He has plans for wives that we've seen already. And he has specific plans for children and parents. God is interested in the home. Aren't you thankful that God's word gives direction and specific instruction for the home? And we've seen that all of those areas for the home and for husbands and wives in marriage, all of them have to be in submission to the Lord. In verse number 21 of chapter 5, we saw submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And so that my perspective of God impacts how I will do what God wants me to do with others, that I rightly see God and what his plan is, and that I see that God has provided an empowering for his plan. That husbands are to love their wives, we saw, is that something that husbands can do in their own strength in the way that Christ loved the church to that degree? Dr. Bill, I think, even mentioned this last week. I probably heard that once or twice growing in ministry there. The fact is that it's impossible for you to love your wife as Christ loved the church in your own ability. Where does the ability come from? Look again at chapter 5, verse 18. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The enabling for a husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church, or for a wife to submit herself to her husband, is the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I will tell you, kids, as we look at this matter of children obeying, and even parents parenting correctly, the Holy Spirit of God must be all over this. We must have his help, his enabling, to do what God is wanting us to do. Now, aren't you thankful that God gives you what you need to accomplish what he wants? God gives you what you need to accomplish what he wants. He's given us his Holy Spirit so that we can do these things. Now, I really believe that the first word of chapter 6 is something we just need to take some time on tonight. Children. Isn't that a great word? Now, I know some of you heard that word. Children? Children. Is it a truth that children are a blessing from the Lord? Now, sometimes when kids hear the word kids or children, they think, oh no, are we in trouble? Can I tell you, kids, tonight, this is not a message that is because you're in trouble. This is a message tonight that's really a blessing about what God has for you. I love kids, but can I tell you something? God loves kids far more than I do, far more than you do. And you're like, I love kids. God loves them far more than you. God loves children, and God has given direction in his word for children. God has plans for them. God values them. In fact, we believe that God values kids greatly. He values them greatly while they're children. He values them and gives them an opportunity to do something while they are children. And we ought to value them as well. In fact, kids tonight, if nothing else, you ought to know that God values you, and that the people in this body of Christ called New Life Baptist Church value children as well. That there's a great value put here. That God has plans, and God is letting you know his plans in chapter 6, verse 1. You say, I don't know that these are the plans I had in mind. This is not sounding like the most fun thing. It is the best thing. It is the greatest thing. And we're going to see why that is as we go through this. But tonight, I want you to know how much God loves children. In fact, my kids love knowing how to do things. Do your kids, or do you remember when kids, maybe you remember when you were a kid, Did you enjoy learning how to do things? Growing in knowledge, growing in understanding of how to do things. Yesterday morning, Ethan, my son, my oldest son, came into the kitchen, and I was sitting at the table in the kitchen working on the computer and using Microsoft Word. You know, I was preparing for messages here and typing things, and he's watching over my shoulder for a while, and my kids love to watch over the shoulder and see what I'm doing, and he says to me, "Can I learn how to do that?" Now, I knew he had already started learning how to type. He's been using typing tutorials and learning that. But he was interested specifically in learning how to use Microsoft Word, how to formulate things. He's been watching me bold things and tab things and make things bigger or smaller and all the things you can do in Microsoft Word. And he's wanting to learn how to do it, which I was excited to go ahead and pull up a tutorial. And we sat there and watched a little bit of a tutorial for kids to use Microsoft Word. And I went back and forth with the program with him and the program and watching and said, hey, and they gave him the computer to let him work with for a while. That was exciting, wasn't it? Yes. Now, I enjoy watching my kids learn things, and I love it when they're asking questions. Don't you? I love it when kids ask things. But I want to ask you this tonight. Kids can do much, can't they? But they need to be taught. And what Ephesians 6, when you look at it, you notice is taking place here is someone is giving instruction if children are going to obey. Now, we will come to this in a little bit, but obedience of children implies that there's more going on than just the children obeying. It implies what? Parents directing, parents giving instruction, parents giving words to them to follow, advice, counsel, instruction, and most importantly, the Word of God ought to be something that we as parents are giving. And so tonight, as we look at this, this is not just kids oriented. This is parents and kids, and I want you as a church to have a right philosophy of children. And even to know that God has things for children is good for us as a church. It really is helpful for us, because if we just look at this and say, that's right, those kids, they need to obey. Well, you might miss a lot more of what's going on here. And I think it's important for us. Does God have plans for marriage? Well, yes, we've seen that. Does God have specific plans for marriage? Why does God share that with marriage, with husbands and with wives? Because it is God's care for them that he tells us how things are to operate. Isn't that wonderful that God cares about husbands and wives? Okay, I'm going to ask that again. Y'all are catching up slowly with me here. Oh, that's why. Thank you, brother. Does God care about husbands and wives? Absolutely. Does God care about kids? And this is a reflection of that. So number one, if you're taking notes tonight, the love of children. In Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to note that God is addressing children and that you ought recognize that God is caring for children. He cares about them knowing his plans. He cares about them knowing what to do. They are a blessing for the Lord. Children are such a blessing. And I think we can't say that too often in the ears of our children. Why is Paul addressing the children in the church in Ephesus? Why is he addressing them? Were they known as a bunch of rowdy, bad-behaved kids? We don't know that. No, why is he giving them instruction? And you ought to ask yourself questions like this. Why is children something that needs to be addressed here? Well, it's not because of necessarily a problem. In fact, I think that when we address verses like this, out of a, well, that's right, they need to just obey their parents. We oftentimes use this in almost always a negative, like, you better do what God says to do, rather than the joy of knowing God's given children a place of importance. They're valuable to God. God has interest in them. Isn't that good to know that you have value in the eyes of God, and therefore God gives direction for you? In fact, throughout the Word of God, we know that God cares about children. Now, just like a husband or a wife, God has plans for those children while they are under parental authority. And by the way, how long does parental authority last? Until a child is grown and has another structure of authority by having a home of their own. I believe that there's an importance for us to see that children are to look to parents and then they are to establish their own. And we'll come to this in a little bit. God has plans for children to become parents in the main or to be other parents of more children. Now, This is important. God loves children. And because God has a plan for children, and I would say as you get into chapter 6 even further, slaves and servants. Does God have a plan for servants in chapter 6? Are they servants that had a willing opportunity to pick who their employers were? No. You know what they were seen as in their culture? The insignificant and unimportant. And I know that hurts. And you say, well, was God endorsing that kind of attitude and culture? Absolutely not. God addressed people in a culture and gave them value by bringing them up. Now, can I just tell you that? The fact that God tells servants what his plans for them are means that God valued them far more than the people in that culture did. And I think the same is true of children as well. God had great interest in children and therefore gave direction to them. By the way, children only up until 100 years ago or so were in work many times and in very difficult situations as young people. I mean, 7, 8, 9 years old. That's a lot of the kids in here working long hours every day. Child labor laws didn't exist back in that time. I don't believe that children shouldn't work, but I don't believe that they should be abused in their work either. And that was what's taken place historically, hasn't it? Children, by the way, work in our home, but not in an abusive type scenario. Okay, so just in case you're wondering what I'm talking about, well, my kids might argue, they make us work so much. No, but my kids have learned how to work, but kids have not always been in a position where they were valued like they should be. Isn't that true? Now, can I just tell you something? If you don't know that history in their time was not always a wonderful, marvelous thing for children or for slaves or servants, you might just look at these verses and say, oh, well, they had stuff to do. But you ought to see that God cares about them, and that's why God is giving direction through Paul to children, because he loves them. He gives them direction because he cares about them. If you see children obey your parents as, I have to, rather than the fact that God cares much for you, you're missing what this is about. God's plans here are revealed. And children are a blessing. Turn over to Psalm 127, because you see that the blessing of children is found in Scripture. And in Psalm 127 in the Old Testament, you see a beautiful picture of this in the Song of Degrees for Solomon found in Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 1. Points out to us that children are a gift from God. That God loves children and that they are a gift. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Notice verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Notice verse 3. Children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. You know what children are? They are gifts from God. And God loves children. I mean this sincerely. Kids, you need to know that God values you highly. In our culture today, and we'll talk about this in a moment, children are not valued as highly as God values them. Children are not lifted to the position of importance and value that God puts upon you. And you need to know that God is interested in you. I think kids need to hear that from our lips often, that God is interested in you, that he cares much about you, and that parents, we're to view children as gifts from the Lord. And I know that when they're little and precious and they've just been born, how could you think anything else, right? But even as they grow, they are still gifts from the Lord. They are gifts from the Lord all the way through their life. And they are to know that they are loved, that they are cared for. And that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, if you go back over there, children, that word that's used in verse number 1 of chapter 6 comes from the word that means offspring. I know that's not real complicated to get, but I will point out to you, it doesn't mean infants. It refers to children of a broad scale of age, but it isn't referring specifically to infants or little tiny children. And I believe it's important to know that this word children is used often in the book of Ephesians, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, when it says that we were. In fact, if you're in Ephesians 2, verse 3, look over what it says. Among whom also we had our conversation, speaking of those who have been saved, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So before I was saved, I was a child of wrath. And then he says in chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Same word used there in chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So this part in chapter 6 is referring specifically to children, offspring of parents. But in another way of seeing this, this word children, is how God sees us as our relationship to Him through Christ. I was once a child of darkness or of wrath, and now I'm a child of light. Now I'm a child of the Father. Now that is a wonderful, and that word beloved children, isn't that a special position to be in as a child of God? Now if God values that in our relationship with Him through Christ, I am convinced that God cares much about children who are the offspring of parents, who are the children, who are the ones that He cares much about. And kids, you can know something about God. And I want you to know this well. He is interested in your fulfilling His will for you. That's why Ephesians 6:1 is given, so that you can know what God wants you to do. Now, kids, have you ever been told you're too small? Well, you're not big enough yet. I know all the kids are like, yeah. Or you're not strong enough to do that thing. Have you ever been told that? Or perhaps, you know, you're just too young. When you get a little older, I've heard that before, yeah. Or maybe you feel like I'm not educated enough. Or, you know, I don't know enough yet. Can I tell you something? You can accomplish God's plan as a child, and He clearly gives it to you, because you can accomplish it. Isn't that encouraging to know? I know, you're looking at me like, Pastor, this is really basic stuff. I know, but we've got to be convinced of that and tell our kids and our grandkids. A lot of you have grandkids. How many of you have grandkids, by the way? Just out of curiosity. Okay, grandparents, you have a marvelous opportunity to let your kids know in an encouraging way that they can do the will of God and that God has given them His plan so that they can know it and do it. Now you say, if all I tell them is that they need to obey their parents, is that all? I think you need to recognize God's interest in them goes beyond just them obeying their parents. God has plans for them that will come as a result of their obedience. Obedience leads to understanding, and we'll be understanding more of this or looking at this in Sunday school with our Proverbs series. The book of Proverbs is much of it parents giving instruction to children, knowledge, so that they can have wisdom, the how, and so that they can know why, the understanding. Do you ever love it when kids, the light comes on and they go, oh, I get it now. Some of you are adults. Have you had the light bulb come on as adults? And you're like, oh, I get it now. I know why God's word teaches us. Oh, I know why. I love it with my kids when stuff starts to make sense. When they're little, you know, 2, 3 years old, like James right now. He's not in here. Does everything make sense to him? No. Is that frustrating to everyone else? At times, is it frustrating to him? Probably. Okay. But as kids get older, what needs to start taking place? Well, as they are obedient, you know what there will be? More and more understanding. And that's where the joy of parenting comes in. When kids get it, when they understand, when it's not, I don't get why. I don't know why. When they understand. And so I want you to notice God does care much about our children and them learning. Now, here's the second thing of this, and I want you to notice God has a purpose for children, the purpose of children, not just the love of children. God does love children. God sees them as a great gift to give to us, but God has a purpose. And Scripture addresses a group in our text that is the typical result of marriage. Chapter 5 has pointed out husbands and wives, and the typical result of marriage is children. God did not miss something here. God has expected that children will be in his plan and that children need to have direction. The parallel passage of this Ephesians 6 passage is Colossians 3:20. Look over at Colossians 3 and verse 20. Probably just a couple pages to the right, past Philippians, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So we see here what the purpose is. God has plans for children in their obedience because it is well-pleasing. And really, the whole context of chapter 5 and 6 of Ephesians point out to us that this is the way to act as one who follows after Christ. This is the way to be in submission one to another in the fear of the Lord. If I'm going to see God correctly, it'll be necessary for me to know what God wants me to do in my relationships with other people. And the purpose that God has for children is made clear here. God has a plan for them. This isn't a small thing that God is interested in the family. Children are not to be viewed as less important. And I bring this up because our culture is growing in an uninterest in children. Do you know that? It is a growing disinterest in children. Our society really doesn't put a high opinion upon kids. You say, what do you mean they don't put a high opinion upon kids? It's reflected in the fact that they have a low view of parenting, of becoming parents. Did you know that the birth rate in our country is strongly declining? Like, it's not a small thing. It's a huge decline. It's not talked about in the media, by the way. There's not going to be any news flashes about this, but it has been declining for some time. In a tremendous way, the rate of children being born in our country is declining. And that's not just a result of abortion, although that's a horrible part of it. A big part of it's the mindset of people, the mindset that says, I don't want to have children. And you know what that tells kids? I'm baffled all the time by this, that the public schools will encourage abortion and teach that to children and young people and teach avoiding having kids. And what does that tell them who are kids? Kids are not valuable. You're not valuable. Isn't that incredible? But if a kid knows that having children and parenting is a joy to those who have them and a joy to parents, you know what the kids know of themselves? They're valued too. It's a really interesting thing that the decline of our culture is largely because kids don't know that they're loved by their parents. And many of you, I know, teach in public schools, and you know how much you show love to them, but you know that there are parents who send kids day after day who don't show love to their kids. Your kids are just I have to. Isn't that sad? It's a very sad state of our country and of our culture, but I don't think it's a new thing in our culture and in our time. I think it's to be recognized that the children that Ephesians 6 addresses are children that in their day and time people might have thought very little of. And in America today, there's a growing dissatisfaction with having anything to do with kids. I don't want to be a parent. I don't want to be bogged down. That is a sad commentary. Millennials often are choosing to focus on themselves far more than get married or start a family or raise that family with a purpose. Can I just tell you, if young men are going to be what God wants them to be, they need to have a vision to be men who will lead others, who will be fathers, who will be dads, who will stand up and teach their families how to honor God and work hard. That ought not be a foreign concept, but that's not taught in the public schools. How to be a good dad. Some of you that have been in public school, did they have classes on how to be a good dad and lead your family well? Well, maybe a quick course, if there was any at all. Can I tell you that that's something that God is interested in? God is interested in the family. God has a purpose in children. And that's good for kids to know, that God has a purpose for them, that God is interested. Before we can talk about the role of children and parents with those children, I believe we have to firmly believe that children are a blessing from the Lord and that they are vital to God's plan for the salvation of the world. Do you know that this whole passage in Ephesians 5 and 6 is connected to God's plan for people who are believers to accomplish what he wants them to do? I mean that. God has a plan for us. What is God's plan? In the beginning of chapter 1, it's that we are created for His glory, to the praise of His glory. Now, do you know that God wants us as well to be gospel declarers? You say, Pastor, are you seriously going to connect having children with the evangelism of the lost? Yes, I absolutely am. You know why? Here's why it is. Children are your first mission field, parents. They really are. Is God interested in children knowing about Him? Knowing His way of justification, His way of being right with Him. Knowing that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Is God interested in children knowing that? Absolutely. How will a children be taught if you won't instruct them and if they won't obey? You know that in our culture now, in schools, it is even being, and some of you have told me about this, in our schools, there are kids that are able, and I think it was in Michigan I heard this, able to answer the teacher with a meow instead of a yes or a no for an answer. Kids that are wearing like dog or cat type hats and acting and barking and meowing like animals, asking to have kitty litter boxes in the classroom. Okay, you know what that is? Foolishness. Ridiculous, isn't it? Okay. Will those people be able to be taught anything? Not if they're going to act like fools and not have someone say no. You say, what does that have to do with the gospel? Okay, if there's no one saying this is right, this is wrong, how can you communicate to them this is what God says and then take you seriously? Based on what? I can say what I want to say about anything. I can make up whatever I want to be. And that's what kids today are living in. So this matter of God has a purpose in children, His purpose is for them to be the first people that we would share the gospel with. You know that children can be saved. Aren't you thankful for that? Yes. Absolutely, children can be saved. In fact, Paul pointed out to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." How did he know the things that would lead him to a place where he could have faith in Christ? Well, someone taught him the Scriptures. Someone said, this is true. There was instruction given. What's the purpose of children? God's purpose is that they be taught, things, and that they would obey, because in obedience they will come to understanding. If a child says, I don't agree with you that 1 plus 1 equals 2, what are you going to be able to teach him in math? Not a thing. Not a thing. You say, is obedience that like foundational? Yeah, we're going to get to this in more detail, but I think you need to know at the outset, not only that God has a care for children, but that God has a purpose for children. God wants children to be the ones who know His truth, the gospel. And if a child can understand at a young age the Scriptures, he ought to be given them in order for him to be saved. Now, this is true, too. The decline of children being born in our nation has followed a revolution against God. You would know that. In the 60s, the sexual revolution took place, and more disinterest in children took place in that period of time. In the last 15 years, the LGBTQ agenda, maybe even 20 years you could say, has again increased this disinterest in children and disinterest in what their future is about. I think it's important to see that in our day we have people that believe that sterilizing children and teens is okay. You realize that that's just foolishness, don't you? It is foolishness for what is taking place in our country. You say, well, that's just people living out what they want to live out. You know, the church needs to be a group of people that says clearly, God has a purpose for you. He made you for a purpose. You can accomplish what His plan is. You need to know that God has a plan for you. And He made you the way He made you for a purpose. Isn't that good to know? God didn't make a mistake. God has a plan for you. And children are absolutely needed. I shared recently a post about Japan, and Japan's not endorsing same-sex marriage. And some folks found that to be interesting. But you know why Japan hasn't done that, I believe? Why they wouldn't give tax incentive to people that are of the same gender marrying? Well, there's no benefit to their nation, a nation that is declining in birth rate, for them to give incentives to people who cannot produce children. Think about it. Now, this is bigger than just a national economy, okay? That has implications, but that's not the point. The greater implication is God has a plan for children, and he has a plan for us as Christians to see that children are valuable to accomplishing his plan. God has a plan for people to know his son. He does. He gets glory when his son is declared to this world. Do you know that? When his son is declared, when his son is preached and proclaimed, and our children have an opportunity to speak of it. I love it. On Saturdays, we go out and knock on doors in our community, and a lot of kids go with us and do that. Yesterday, I was carrying James. You know, he's two. And by the way, people are much more inclined to talk to you when they see kids. It's kind of like an odd thing. They don't interact with children much anymore. Wow, there was one of these children at my door with a parent. And I mean this seriously. I want my kids to interact with the declaring of the gospel. Why? Because they're the next generation to do it. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that the kids in our church can share the gospel with a community and a world? Well, absolutely. And I believe that they should. And that it's a great opportunity. By the way, does God command us to do that? To tell the world the truth, the good news? Are we to be gospelizers? Are we to be declaring the gospel? Yes or no? Yeah. So if my children know Christ, are they to be doing it too? Well, yes. And they're going to learn that as we are involved in doing that. And so seeing that God has a purpose in our children is very, very important. Children are needed, and God intends for the family to promote faith and perpetuate evangelism. You say, that seems very self-serving. No, it's God-serving. It really is. And you've got to have a viewpoint that sees this is more than just my living my life for me. That's our culture that says, live for yourself, live your life for you. You know what Christ calls us to do? Give our life. Give up our rights and recognize that selflessness is joy and happiness. That serving others is better than serving myself. We saw that in marriage, by the way. A husband that serves himself, is he going to have a happy marriage? No. A wife that is only thinking of herself, is she going to have a happy marriage? No. Where does the joy in marriage come? Fulfilling what God made both of them to do. Where does the joy in parenting and children come? And children, where are you the happiest? I've seen the joy in my kids when they're obedient and doing what they're asked to do, and they don't have to be told twice that thing, and they've been encouraged in that, and they know what to do, and they're doing it. And I've seen the joy that takes place in that. Now, is it always easy to obey? We're going to get to this for kids, because no, it's not always easy. And parents aren't always perfect in their commanding, are we? Which is why God addresses both, just like with husbands and wives. You know, just like we saw with the husbands and wives, is there one side that's always perfect? No. And with parenting, are parents always perfect? You can say it out loud, guys. No, we're not. Does God have a plan, though, for children? Yes. God has a purpose for children, and God has a purpose for parents. And this is the third thing I want you to notice, the parenting of children. When you look at Ephesians 6 and verse 1, again, I've already said this, you have to observe that there is someone here giving directions. Children obey implies that someone is giving commands, right? Now, if children are going to obey, parents need to recognize their involvement in this. And we'll come back to the parents' role some more in verse number 4, but that matter of not provoking to wrath, but to nurture. But we ought to focus not too quickly or miss too quickly the fact that parents are to be the instructors. Parents are to be the instructors. Verse 1 points out to whom children are to obey. Who is it that children are to obey? Your parents. I know this is deep stuff Pastor Finney has given us tonight, But parents, you need to know that your kids are looking to you. They need you. They need you to give direction. When I worked at the Bill Rice Ranch in summer camp ministry, we had day camp. And day camp, similar to what we've done with day camp here, parents would come and drop off their kids at 8 in the morning there and pick them up at 5, right? And all day long, they would be with a counselor, one of our staff, and there'd be maybe 5 kids to a counselor. They had a lot of staff and a smaller number of campers during those weeks. And that counselor would be telling them all day long, okay, let's go over here. Okay, now we're going to go over here. Okay, now we're going to Cowboy Town. Okay, now we're going over to the pool. Okay, now get your stuff. And they would be giving directions to them all day long, right? And the parents would say to us, sometimes after the first day, sometimes after the second day, what are you doing to my children? They're obedient and they have a good attitude. I don't know whatever you're doing, it's amazing. And I would always, like, what? Like, really? And you know what it was? Consistent, clear direction brought about joy for children. You know what children do not thrive under, do not get help from? Badgering. You know what badgering is? Come on, come on. Now I said to do this, come on. Now you didn't do it, come on. Now I got to tell you, I'm a parent, and I'm not always good with this, and I need to grow in this and work on this. And every one of us as parents have found ourselves saying something too many times that we shouldn't have said twice or 3 times or 4 times, right? What is that a consistent picture of? The fact that if a child has direction and clear direction and they know what's expected of them, they can thrive. And kids, I believe, not only need direction, they want it. They want direction. Do you like it when you know what to do and what's expected of you? I do. Do you enjoy a boss that changes his mind constantly and just picks on you and doesn't tell you what he wants and you never know if he's happy or not? That's not fun, is it? That kind of leans towards the provoking people to wrath that chapter 6 verse 4 talks about. But I will tell you something. If a child is given direction and consistent and patient, and over time, you know what that child can have? That child can have direction that shows that there's something to aim for, and I know what's expected, and I know where I'm going. And I believe this with all my heart. You and I can be people who train children and see them go down a direction, have a path that they know to go. That when God's word says children obey, it's not like, well, you could try, but it probably isn't going to work. In fact, our culture kind of teaches that. We'll talk about some mindsets that our culture has about parenting and about children. And sometimes, well, you can try, but, you know, just be their buddy. That's the most important thing. Or, you know what, you could tell them, but just keep pestering them, keep pestering them, keep pestering them. That'll get something accomplished. Can I tell you, the Word of God gives us direction about parenting. And in particular, it gives us the idea that children need to have direction given to them. And the parenting of children is seen in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, as well as the fact that children have a responsibility. Now, we'll look at the children's responsibility next time a little bit more. But I think it's important for you to know that you can give direction. You know, in Genesis chapter 18, the Bible speaks of Abraham, and it commends him. There's much that we can pick on Abraham for falling short in, or why did you think that, Abraham? But in Genesis 18, verse 19, God says of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." You know what God says of Abraham? He'll give direction. He will command his children and his household after him. Now, I know this is a basic, but if we're going to look at children, God loves them greatly. God has plans for them. And God has individuals that he wants to give them direction. He wants parents to step into the place and responsibility of giving direction. I said that our country has kind of lost the interest in having children or parenting because largely they're selfish. Largely, the only thing that they're interested in is themselves. That's not always the case, but a large portion of the problem in our culture is a self-absorbed culture. Okay? Can I just remind you in Ephesians chapter 6, when you look at verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God has something established and good for children. In Colossians 3, it says that this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is a good thing. And parents, instructing kids is work, isn't it? If you're a grandparent and you have influence in your children, is it work to instruct? Sure. If you're a teacher, and some of you are teachers in public school, is it work to instruct? Absolutely. If you're homeschool, is it work to instruct? Absolutely. Is it valuable? And parents in particular, you have the most important role in your children's life. And I would say you ought to be the primary instructors of your kids. And you ought to be the ones that are directing them in the ways of knowledge. Hey, this is a good place for you to learn from. Hey, come over here and watch this or listen to this with me. If you're going to do something that's a tutorial, do it with them. If you're going to homeschool on videos, involve yourself with that. But point them and be the ones who are directing them in instruction. And watch God bless that, because kids are wonderful. Do you remember when you were a kid? You all were one once. Yeah, many, many, many years ago, right? Hey, do you remember how much it was a blessing when someone pointed out to you that you were valuable as a kid? I mean this sincerely, that you could accomplish something, that you could make a difference. Every one of our kids in here tonight, let me just remind you, God has value in you. And that's why Ephesians 6:1 is in the Bible, because God has an interest in you and he has something for you to accomplish. And he hasn't forgotten you or seen you as not important. He has plans for you. And you can accomplish those plans. That's exciting to me, that God gives us his will and that we can also accomplish it. And that we need his Spirit to help us. We'll see more as we go along in this. But kids tonight and parents alike, would you just consider for just a little bit this evening the marvelous truth that God has plans for kids?